first for the Bucks.
Zeke Elliott bumped the ball.
Jalen Smith.
That is a play to remember.
Oh, what a tackle by Jalen Smith.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a weekend edition of the Frisco Report. We're happy to report the first week of free agency frenzy is in the books. And now we're just going to discuss, you know, the overall picture or the state of the Cowboys roster as we head into the second week, where we start to look at more of your second tier and obviously the bargain bin. All right. So, Mike, what's up, man? How's your weekend looking right now, man?
Hey, Joe, what's going on? Happy Saturday. It's not a Tuesday, but happy Saturday. And so far, so good, man. You know, got a lot of stuff done around the house. Warmer weather came our way. It's been about 25 degrees. It feels like 15 because of the wind, but things are getting warmer again and getting things done. And hope your weekend's been well, too, bro.
Yeah, it's been good. You know, everybody's out there hunkering down. Shout out to all the states that are, you know, in complete shutdown mode right now. So all of our listeners out there, California, New Jersey, Connecticut, Illinois. I mean, the list keeps expanding. So hope you guys are able to enjoy this, get a little bit, get away from some of the madness, some of the anxiety that's out there. So let's get into this, Mike. So, you know, first week in the bag. You know, there were, we kind of got that scare with Amari Cooper. Obviously, we covered that. But let's just talk about how do you feel the first week went overall. Let me know what players you liked, any questionable signings, or anybody that left that you wish we would have kept. What's your thoughts on the first week here for the Cowboys?
Absolutely. And I think the biggest one of them all was obviously Jerry McCoy. I mean, right after our show on Tuesday, we get the news. Gerald McCoy is a Dallas Cowboy. 3-year, $18 million deal. You know, I thought it was pretty clutch, and you got him at the right price, $6 million a year. And you know, he's not with Gerald McCoy. People are talking, look at his age and might think he's long in the tooth, Joe. But Gerald McCoy, you look at him last year and what he did for that Carolina's defense. You draft somebody young, Gerald McCoy is going to help that somebody young. You get what I'm saying? And he's smart. The instincts on the field is there. And when you have instincts, you protect yourself. And that's what Gerald McCoy has done his entire career. And I'm happy, Joe, he's a Dallas Cowboy. The other one is Maurice Kennedy. This was kind of weird because when Jeff Heath went to the Raiders, Maurice Kennedy came in here, and he's a corner. And I forget the college he played from, and I was just watching stuff on him. Dang it. But, wow, I watched some stuff on him, and I'm like, okay, is he special teams? Because nothing sticks out to me at the corner. When he's playing corner, Joe. So that one's kind of like, we'll see. Maybe Mike Nolan's been drilling over this guy, and they haven't, and other teams haven't been using him right. But maybe, just maybe, it's special teams. And then another good signing, Joe, real quick. Matter of fact, he just signed Friday morning. I actually woke up. I looked at the Cowboys' remaining free agents. And I've seen C.J. Goodwin still on the list. I'm like, Cowboys got to get C.J. Goodwin. That's who you replace on special teams for Jeff Heath. I was like, why isn't he signed yet? 2 hours later, Cowboys brought him back. And, you know, I don't see Maurice Kennedy being special teams or starting caliber corner. And I see C.J. Goodwin going in there and taking over that Jeff Heath role as special teams. That's just me. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, the big one, I guess the Cowboys' big name ticket outside of our own people, for sure, is the Gerald McCoy, because you know, the term we've been giving these guys, the Baconator. We got one. It's aged beef, but still, he's getting it done, man. The stats are there. He's still very productive, and you know, it's impressive that he was able to produce under Ron Rivera. Okay, so. He's got good coaching. you know, basically every spot he's been at. I even with the Bucks, you know, he did well there. Now with the Cowboys, he gets to work with Tom Sula, Leon Lett, and these guys. So I think it's a great move, man. It's a great move. It's an upgrade, you know. It's an upgrade over Malik Collins, and you know, that he can hopefully raise the football acumen and things of that nature for Tristan Hill, because he needs to turn it around. If Tristan Hill doesn't turn it around this season under the mentorship or guidance of McCoy, it's over. It's over.
Great point.
So we'll know this season, you know, what the deal is there with Tristan, you know. So we'll see. But other than that, the other one that we were kind of, you and I had called this too, was Anthony Brown. Our thought was, okay, if Byron Jones leaves, which everybody knew he was gone.
Oh, that's another good one.
Yep. We had to keep Anthony Brown. He knows the system and knows, the system will obviously be a little bit different here now, but he knows the teammates and, you know, that kind of thing. So good little move there, 3-year deal. So I like that move, man. It's a low key, good little depth there. And if you get dinged up, you can play on the outside, you can play in the nickel as well. So I like it. I like that move a lot. And, let me see who else
do Clinton have? Dix.
Yeah, that's the most recent one. Yeah, haha, Clinton Dix. What was it? 16 interceptions in 6 seasons or something. Those are good numbers. You know, we just don't get turnovers here in Dallas. So, you know, there's obviously people are looking at him bouncing around now. So is he coachable? What's the deal there? But Mike McCarthy did draft him, first round pick. So coming out of Alabama, they usually, you know, they're pretty good in the secondary, especially at safety. They've been pretty consistent on putting starters into the NFL. So 6-year player, has a lot of veteran, play. And the thing about him is he's durable. He doesn't miss time. So it's a good move, man. And for me, he's an upgrade. He's an upgrade over Heath. So now you just have to figure out if you're going to move him to free or strong, if you're going to move, you know, Woods to strong, you know, you kind of have to figure that out. But that combo, I think it's a good combo right there. I think, you know, that we'll see how it goes. I just don't feel that the Cowboys are going to look at safety early. You know, some people will say, oh, this doesn't preclude the Cowboys from drafting the safety early. I say it does. Cowboys don't even like drafting safeties early. Now you got a guy here that knows McCarthy, and it's not going to happen. They're not going to take a safety in the first. I can bet $1 billion on it if I had it right now. They're not going to do that. But interesting, well, interesting moves here. What do you think about the players that left? Are there any players that left that you kind of were like, ah, I wish we would have kept them, or are you glad, you know, you didn't really blink at any of these departures?
No, not really blinking at any of the departures. I think we talked about Jason Garrett going into the Raiders on the last show. One thing I will talk about, though, Joe, is the linebacker core. I mean, we stressed this before free agency, is there's no depth at linebacker. And they kept the entire linebacker core together. Jay March is back. They got Joe Thomas back. You know, they brought in Sean Lee again. So the linebacker core is pretty intact still. So what was your kind of reaction about keeping the linebacker core together?
It's good that they kept them together, especially, you know, Joe Thomas, right?
Yeah.
But March, special teamer guy. Joe Thomas, you know, he filled in pretty good. His stat line was pretty good at the end of the season. But I think that position there is going to be something that – don't be surprised if they take somebody, a linebacker, in those first 3 rounds, honestly, because – You can do better. I mean, Joe Thomas is a backup who comes in and fills in when there's injury, either to Leighton Vander Esch or probably Sean Lee in this case. So, you know, Cowboys looking at a couple linebackers, you know, Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma, Logan Wilson out of Wyoming. Those are really solid linebacker options. As a fan, I think most fans would dread to take another linebacker in the first round and probably think it's not necessary. But, you know, we got to see how this draft shapes up. You know, if they have Kenneth Murray over, you know, CeeDee Lamb or one of these wide receivers, bringing Cooper back, I think takes those premier guys off the table. I think CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, I think that they might be off the table. You know, I really don't think that they would go wide receiver at this route, but it's going to be a fun draft, man, because it's I have a feeling they're up to something. I don't know what it is, but it seems like they're kind of setting themselves up to do something in this draft. They might get a little bit more aggressive than they have in the past. What do you think, man?
You know, I think you're right. And I think the Cowboys, they set themselves up to be able to draft a linebacker. Sean Lee, Jay March, and Joe Thomas all have one-year deals.
Yeah.
So they set themselves up perfect to bring a linebacker in here, because you could cut Jay March and replace him with the rookie. You know, you can cut Joe Thomas or trade Joe Thomas and replace him with the rookie. And three linebackers coming back, three one-year deals. It sets yourselves up to do something like that, Joe, in the draft.
That's a really good point, Mike. That's a really, really good point, everybody. Follow the contracts. Brian Broaddus would always say that when he was reporting with the Cowboys. Look at the contracts. Follow the contracts. And that is an awesome point, because it does. It really does. One-year deals, when you look at them, you know, you have to assume that they're going to hit free agency the next year, and then you have a hole again. So you got to have somebody in place, you know, and I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't be mad at it. But as it is right now, here on a Saturday, you know, first week of free agency winding down, the last, I don't know, I guess you could say one of the last premier guys that, you know, the Cowboys are kind of attached to, or is a, you know, Everson Griffin from the Vikings. So, you know, he's been attached to the Seahawks. My money is he probably does go to the Seahawks. Seahawks, they find a way to lure these guys over there. And I think it's, you know, the allure of playing for the Legion of Boom. I mean, they're not Legion of Boom anymore, but they kind of have that identity, right? The Seahawks are kind of, they've built that identity that they're known for their defense. And, you know, they're still good. They reloaded, and they're still a damn good defense, man. So I wouldn't be surprised by that. You know, I think maybe they're kind of waiting on to see what happens with Clowney. I mean, supposedly they offered Clowney $18.75 million. That's shocking to me.
Who offered Clowney that much?
The Seahawks.
Oh, wow.
Which surprises me. Surprised me, because the Seahawks usually don't do those kinds of deals for these types of players. And Clowney he takes too many plays off, misses too much time. It's not going to be a good deal for them unless they have it like, you know, incentives for Clowney's. Clowney to me is the type of player that needs incentives to get the motor running. And you don't want that kind of player, man. Not good. But what's your thoughts on that, Mike? Right as we sit right now, we don't really have that other outside pass rushing presence with Quinn departing to the Bears. So what's your sense here on the plan there? If they don't get Griffin, or if they do, then what?
I don't think they will get the former edge rusher from the Vikings. I can't say his name, so I'm not going to try. Everson Griffin. There we go.
There you go.
And so I'm reading Cowboys are not interested in him. But, you know, you still got Randy Gregory in there. You know, Tyron Crawford is still kind of in the mix. But I don't know where Mike Nolan will play a guy like Tyron Crawford. He's been shifted around a lot under Jason Garrett. So I don't know where Tyron Crawford's going to play, but we know he could play right end. But I don't know. Do you know how much money the Cowboys have left? Is it $30 million left?
I want to say it's 23. 22 point something or right there at $23 million. So,
you know. Well, if the Cowboys want to go make a big splash and maybe match that Clowney offer that the Seahawks are giving to Everson Griffin, then obviously it's worth it, right? But, I mean, would you do like a Gerald McCoy type situation where it's a three-year deal? Because I don't even know anything about Everson Griffin except that he's a baller. Let me look up his stats real quick.
Yeah, Everson Griffin is a really good player. He was a captain on the defense. And there's the remember, we do have the former defensive coordinator on the Cowboys now. So there's familiarity there. You got what is it?
Wow.
You remember the guy that we have him as a – not a defensive coordinator. He's like a defensive consultant or
I forgot. Well, I'm looking at his stats now.
I forgot what they gave him. But so I think they're kind of maybe banking on that. But that's the question. How much is he wanting? And I think if they wanted something to get done, I think we would have heard something by now. You know, so if not Griffin, and supposedly, you know, I think Mike Fisher reporting this too, that the Cowboys don't have him high on the list. So let's just go off that. Let's just say the Cowboys don't, that you know, we don't get them, right? What is your plan for this coming week? Or like, what's your feeling there? Because that's a big hole there. Yeah, Dorrance Armstrong and Randy Gregory. I do like Randy Gregory a lot in the rotation, but you know, that football conditioning, that's a big deal with him. And you got to get somebody, in my opinion.
Yeah, you do. And it's who do you go get? Because I mean he does have 74.5 sacks in nine years. Gerald McCoy has 50.5 sacks in 7 years. So you can bring pieces in here that can really help you out in a sense, but there's really not a lot of edge rushers available in the market anymore. I mean, there's Cameron Wake, but is he even playing? You know what I mean?
Nah, he's washed up, man. Yeah, he wouldn't be anything.
Ezekiel Ansah, but he's pretty long in the tooth.
Yeah, he's too beat up. Yeah.
Jordan Jenkins, I never even heard of that name. So, I mean, if the Cowboys don't go after anybody, really, I mean, your best bet is a draft.
Leonard Floyd, is he still out there?
No, I don't think he is. I think he
Who did he sign with?
He's still a free agent. He's still a free agent.
Yeah, so he had a down season. He signed with Rams.
He went to the Rams.
Did he?
He said Leonard Floyd to sign with Rams.
Okay, so he's off the I'm gonna say this right now, dude. I'm gonna say the Cowboys draft Caleb on Chaseon. That's my pet cat right now. He's the one I want. He's got the bend, the edge, the quickness, the statistics. Playing for that LSU defense, game changer. At 17, if you can get him, and he's there, I'm taking him because. To me, this draft is going to remind me of when 2014 when we got DeMarcus Lawrence. The conversation was in 2014, you know, you only have, you know, a lot of the edge rushers got wiped out in the first round. So, you know, when everybody went home, the conversation was the Cowboys, they need to move up. There's only, you know, a couple of players that have that bend, that have that pass rushing ability, and DeMarcus Lawrence was that name. Cowboys moved up and got him, right? So mm-hmm. I have a feeling that we're looking at that type of scenario here because the edge rushing class in this draft is not good. You got Chase Young, who in my opinion is a Vernon Golston. Somebody's going to get burnt on that pick there. And yes, I do stick by that. I'm not buying the major media. Everybody's on his nuts. I don't see it. I see Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree is a good player, but he ain't no number five, number three pick overall. So when you're looking at who else is left on as an edge rusher who can get around the edge, right? Mm-hmm. And has moves and can get around the edge with speed moves, Kalyvon Chaisson fits the bill to the T, man. Because you got Epinesa. I don't like the edge there. He looked really stiff in the figure eight drills. Yeah, he's a power guy, right? He looks more like a five tech that you would draft later in the first and make him a five tech in a 3-4. He's not an outside rush guy. So Epinesa reminds me of an upgrade to like a Tyron Crawford, but that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for dogs, people that can get to the quarterback, harass the quarterback, and that kind of thing. So for me, Mike, Kalyvon Chaisson is my target right now. He's my target right now. Now, the other question, Mike, is how do you feel about cornerback, though? You know, we're talking about edge rusher and cornerback. Are those where we really need to focus now? Is that kind of where, you know, this draft is kind of shaping up with what we've done so far in free agency? Is it looking more like that first round pick might come between those two positions? What do you think there, Mike?
To answer your question, yes. That's where it's at. Right in and corner. I mean, 3-year deal with Anthony Brown, right? And I talked about Maurice Kennedy. They brought in C.J. Goodwin, who's just special teams. So, you know, you're thin. The paper's so thin at corner, you can cut your finger off. It's not a paper cut. You're cutting it off, right?
Yeah.
And so you're Kalyvon Chaisson. I like that move. And CJ Henderson, Joe,
mm-hmm.
It might be a reach at 17. You know, there's a couple of guys that you can draft there, right? You know, I'm talking about CJ Henderson. I'm talking about Aduka. I'm talking about Christian Fulton from LSU. There's some guys you can draft there at that corner that can help your football team. And any three of those corners, you can go and they can help your football team, Joe. And you're right. It's either going to be right in or it's going to be that cornerback position. I think they really helped themselves with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix there at that strong safety mm-hmm. position.
Yeah.
And it lets them stress that level off because they already heard the fans. Grant Delpit, Xavier McKinney, and I'm pretty sure they've heard Xavier McKinney from me every show here. But with the Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, you can relax and you could possibly go get something in the second. You could possibly go get something in the third or fourth when it comes to that strong safety position. But right now, you're looking at what's thin, Joe. It's right defensive end. And it's cornerback because you got to remember, they brought in Darian Thompson, two guys. So that's where the two positions are thin, in my opinion, Joe. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
that's what's open.
That's what it is, man. And, you know, I totally agree, man. It's and that's really the purpose. And we talked about this the last show, everybody. What the Cowboys, this is what they are at the front office. You know, they're doing the same strategy. You know, that we don't have Garrett anymore. We have Mike McCarthy. But if you look at the moves that the Cowboys are doing, it's the same kind of strategy. You know, they're not, you know, we're signing our own players because we've done relatively good. You know, not great, but we've done good with our early picks, right? So the strategy is that, you know, it's re-sign your big ticket guys, which are our own people, and then supplement what you're going to lose, but at the same time, try to churn and try to improve a little bit with free agency. And I think they've improved a little bit with Clinton Dix. I like that move. I don't think he'll be anointed that position. I think there will be a competition there, but he should be the guy. Donovan Wilson as well. The turnover machine. That was very impressive to me. So yeah, he's in the mix. So safety, all of a sudden, with all the moves, it's deep. They're in good shape right now. You could go and play a game right now, and you're good at safety. But at the end position, no, because we're talking about Randy Gregory getting reinstated. Rumor is he plans on reapplying. That's still foggy, so we don't know about that even. So
that's true.
Really, if we're looking at it right now, as we sit here today, it's Dorrance Armstrong. He's okay, but he ain't gonna be giving you numbers like a Randy Quinn or.
Where is he from? Kansas.
Armstrong. Yeah. He's kind of, he's a good player. He's a good player, but
he's huge though. Yeah. I mean,
he's a good strong player, but he doesn't. You got to get better there. And like you said too, Mike, the cornerback position is thin there. So depending on who's there, and it'll be interesting to see, do they sit there and wait for one of these corners to fall? I almost feel like C.J. Henderson is almost kind of. Really boosted his stock so much that he might be up further up than what we're kind of thinking. Jeff Okuda, we're thinking he's going to go top 10. But after that, we very well could see Henderson go right after him. So is this going to be the draft where they have to move up now if they want to, for sure get their guy,
I don't know. And I was going to ask you, can they move back and still get their guy?
I think you can move back and get, you could definitely move back, but you're probably not going to get a first-round graded player. I think in this draft you're looking at.
Like maybe Trevon Diggs out of Alabama, you could move back and probably get him. 6'1", 205.
Yeah, you could probably get him later in the draft. He had been projected a little early here and there, but I've seen his stock kind of fall towards the bottom of the first. I've even seen him mocked in the second round here recently in a lot of mock drafts. So you can move back, but like I said, every draft class has a certain amount where the team assigns a first-round grade. There's not 32 first-round grades. Usually a typical class will have, 17 to 20 first round grades. So if you're sitting at 17, right, and you want to move back to acquire more picks, well, you're no longer looking at first round of graded players. So you're looking at players that are second round talent in the eyes of your front office, Will McClay, and your scouts. So you kind of got to be careful with that move there. But, if these guys get wiped out, if the guys they want are gone, like C.J. Henderson and Chase Young, then, yeah, that very well could be an option. I definitely wouldn't discount it, and they haven't done that in a while. I want to say the last couple seasons they've really have stayed pat and just drafted. So, we'll see.
When I looked at, real quick, the free agent we picked up, Maurice Kennedy, when I looked at his his stats and his bio and stuff, Maurice Kennedy's 6'1", and are we going back to that tall corner stuff but not and still trying to downplay it? Give me football players. I want football players. Because you could probably trade back, get you a corner, and you probably trade up in that second round. And go get you a safety or a right defensive end, someone high. I mean, they did it in what 2000? When did we draft DeMarcus Lawrence? They did it with DeMarcus Lawrence, Joe.
Yeah, that was 2014. So, and when you move up like that, you know, this, and we see a lot of teams do this on draft day. You know, the first round, it goes through. Then the team reassesses and sees, okay, here, okay, this is what, this is the plan here tonight. You know, the game plan changes. They stay there pretty much in the war room, you know, coming up with a game plan. Okay, here we are at 51, right? Here's who's left. Here's who can give us that pass rush edge, but we may have to move up to get this guy, or this cornerback, you know, gives us the size, the speed, the athleticism that we want, but he's not probably not going to be there at 51. We may have to move up, right? So that's the kind of things that happen in these war rooms, and a lot. There's the second round always has a lot of movement. That's when everything gets busy, and wheeling and dealing happens. So, and sometimes you see people jump back into the first round. So let's
that's true too.
Let's see what happens there. But yeah, for sure, Cowboys, this is going to be one hell of a draft, man. It's going to be fun. But like we've been pounding the table, they have to hit on these picks, because 2019, as it stands right now, not a good draft class. Tony Pollard, probably the best of them all. You know, we'll see what McGovern looks like this year. Tristan Hill, hopefully he improves. But as we sit here right now today, not a good draft class. So they, and when you don't hit on these early picks, it hurts you, man. It just hurts you.
I'm with you. And Mike McCarthy, he never went to the Senior Bowl. He sent his scouts, Will McClay, Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones. Mike McCarthy and his coaching staff said, hey, you guys are the scouts. You guys are the general manager. You guys built this roster. You go. I'm going to stay over here and we'll talk about my staff, how we're going to build this thing. So Jason Garrett, he always went to the Senior Bowl, Joe. He always went to the NFL scouting combines. Of course, Mike McCarthy went to the scouting combine because he has to talk to players. But when it comes to the scouting part of it, like Senior Bowl and stuff, Mike McCarthy said, hey, you guys go ahead and go be a scout. Jason Garrett always went to those Senior Bowls. So now it's, all right, Mike McCarthy, what are you looking for? I'm looking for strength. I'm looking for power. I'm looking for explosion. I'm looking for a good locker room guy. Whatever. What do y'all have for me? Okay. And then that's when the scouts start debating, right? It's like when Brian Broaddus gets passionate about, you know, those scouts debating about whose guy's better on their end, you know? And that's when they make the decision. And Mike McCarthy, you're going to see, now this is solely on, you know, the scouts here. Can these scouts put this draft board together correctly and accurately and feed that information to Mike McCarthy? I think the answer is yes, Joe.
Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt about that. I like the mix, man, of McCarthy. You know, he knows what type of players he wants, and you know, Will McClay even mentioned it at the Senior Bowl. You know, we're gonna tweak a little bit what we're looking for. You know, and basically that's an acknowledgement that you know, McCarthy likes a different kind of player. You know, he probably likes a nastier type of player. Obviously, more beef. They even mentioned that as specifically to defensive tackle. So,
triple Baconator.
Baconator. And we're probably not done. I would say we're not done with getting Baconators because –
no,
as good as McCoy is, there's the age, and you know, with anybody that's older, injury can happen, that kind of thing. So we still got to get better there. I like it. I like him with Tristan in the rotation. But I still feel you gotta add something else there. You still gotta get better there. So second, third round, even fourth, you can get yourself a solid triple, double or triple Baconator, baby. You can still get a guy there and a good one, you know. So all cards will be on the table. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun, Joe. And, you know, the draft is still going on, just no fans. Free agency still kicking, but no physicals. And I've heard that the clubs – are putting a virus clause in their contract. And the virus clause is, once this pandemic calms down, then you're going to come get your physical. If you happen to fail your physical, we void your contract and it never even happened. So keep that in mind too, guys.
Yeah, that's a good point. And this draft class, you know, hopefully, you know, we're all praying that we all get through this crap. But, you know, this draft, this 2020 draft class is going to be different for every team around the league, because you don't get those 30 visits. You know, you're really, really, and we mentioned this in the other draft, in our other podcast, guys, is your teams are really going to rely on your scouts in the film this year, like heavily. So that part there, I feel really good about that. The Cowboys, you know, they have really good scouts. Will McClay, they're really studious and that kind of thing. So I feel good about it. I'm not worried about it. If I were another team that's not good at evaluating talent, those are the teams that are really going to get hurt by this, because, you know, those 30 visits, they do count, because you not only are you bringing in the players that you want, but you're bringing in a player that maybe you have a little bit more questions on as far as a red flag, right? So in these cases, you're not going to have that opportunity. So it's possible that this draft, they're really going to stay away from these red flag players, because they're not going to have, you know, these closer interactions with the staff and bringing them out to the star. So we'll see. We'll see how this affects the NFL as far as talent. Who are the have and have nots? You know, which front offices are really going to shine? And I think it's going to be the ones that have been consistent. You know, you talk about the Ravens. These guys have been consistent for a long time. Cowboys have been really good in the early rounds for a long time. But some of these other teams, they're pitiful. You know, they're pitiful. Yeah. So a lot, the world has changed, everybody. The draft, this thing has just affected life as we know it, man. So we'll see how it goes, man. But good conversation, Mike.
Absolutely.
I really like what we covered here. It's a good little primer for all you guys that you know, have been busy with life in general, that maybe you guys have missed some of the news that's going on. So that's why we wanted to give you guys this weekend special edition of the Frisco Report. Can't do this without you, Mike. I really appreciate you and your input on this. And, you know, that's what we're here for, you guys. You know, we want you guys to be able to get away from some of this stuff, because we all do. You know, you got to get out and get some fresh air. You know, get away from the TV, too. A lot of people are spending a lot of time streaming, and, you know, you can lose your mind. So, you know, with the podcast, you know, you can tune in. You lay down in bed, listen to the podcast, put it in your car, go drive around, get out for a little bit. If you're not in lockdown, you know, get out, you know, put the podcast on the radio, chill for a little bit. You know, that's another reason why we want to keep this going here. Right, Mike?
Well said, Joe. Well said, guys. And, you know, if you're quarantining, please stay safe. You know, the stuff gets crazy, and it's getting crazier by the minute. And, you know, put this on, ease your mind. This podcast will take your mind off things. And we're talking about something that you know and love, our Dallas Cowboys. And just stay safe. Practice that social distancing. Wash your hands. Wash your bottom. And you'll be all right.
There you go. Well said. Well said, Mike. And on that note, guys, we really appreciate every one of you guys. Mike, where can they find you at, man?
Dallas Cowboy Football News on YouTube and on Facebook. DCF News 1 on Twitter, guys. Give me a follow. Give me a mention. Give me a DM. That's where the conversation starts. Thank you, Joe. It's always a pleasure working with you.
I appreciate that, man. And all you guys, you can find me as well on YouTube, and that's Cowboys Blog. Just look me up, Cowboys Blog. Twitter and Instagram is Cowboys Blog Net, N-E-T. So make sure you guys hit up our Twitter as well. We have an official Twitter for this podcast. It's The Frisco Report. Okay, guys? So from me and Mike, we really do appreciate you guys, and we'll see you on Tuesday for the next update. All right? Everybody stay safe. Everybody stay healthy. Peace.
Peace.